Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Just trying to find the right word when I put my first tweet out about the game and my column. The Bills escaped. Narrowly left. I don't know. 23-20. You take them how you get them, but how would you describe it last night in Cleveland, Matt?
I went with two words, and it was crisis averted. And I feel like that kind of perfectly summarizes the entire day, because it was crisis averted on losing a game that you absolutely should not lose. It was crisis averted on the Josh Allen injury at the end of the first half that we were all on pins and needles waiting for. And it was crisis averted about letting the division slip away before the Patriots even had a chance to play. So that did not happen either, even though the Patriots won. We'll get to that more on that later. But yeah, I think that kind of perfectly summarizes what we saw. And even though there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up and there's a lot not to like, I do think that there are positives from this game. And I think that that's okay to look at those at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I do my arrow up, arrow down column. There were more arrows down than up, and you can always find more up. You can always find more down or less or whatever. Just kind of how you walk through the game and how you see it, and then you look at the box score. But the Bills had this game firmly in control and then almost let it slip away. And I think that was what was concerning, because this was the flip of the script we had seen over the last few weeks, whereas they get off the slow starts, and then they take care of business in the second half, and they come back, and obviously they're down a little bit. In this game, they were up, and they didn't take care of business in the second half. What went wrong in the second half, do you think?
I think it was just that the offense lacked any sort of rhythm and they kind of fell behind the chains. And I also think it's an indictment that just the wide receiver room is, it's not the worst in the NFL. It's one of the worst in the NFL. They do not get contributions from anybody, especially on the boundary, which is a huge concern. I think it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds. When I think of the second half, I think of the misses that they had. One of them was just a straight miss from Josh Allen to Khalil Shakir. It would have been a huge gain on third down. It might've even been a touchdown. He was that wide open, Shakir. And Josh just threw it over his head. And then on the fourth down play right after that, he missed Tyrell Shavers, who was also open. And I wondered, is this a foot thing? Can he not plant and kind of perfectly throw like he normally does? So those were misses. Then on the next drive, he drops a dime to Brandon Cooks over the top, and he drops it for the second straight week. We're talking about a ball that was in Brandon Cooks' hands that he drops. And then they had a chance to go up 10 on a Dawson Knox drop that was somehow even worse than the Brandon Cooks drop. And that would have, it's all perspective. But if Dawson Knox just catches that pass which is a very routine ball, it's 30 to 20, and then they cover the spread, and then it's not like, what the heck happened? So it was closer than it needed to be, but I think a lot of that was because of second half self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, for sure. So Josh was a little bit polarizing for me yesterday because I didn't give him an arrow down, and a lot of people saw it, said, well, I can't believe you didn't give Josh an arrow down. I'm like, well, he definitely made some – he definitely had a couple plays where he should have maybe hit a pass, as you said, or made a better decision on the play actually where he got hurt. He also went 12 of 19, and two of those were drops, right? I mean, like, they would have been 14 of 19. So I don't think Josh played a terrible game. I don't think it was his best game, obviously. He didn't have very good numbers at all. I think your point about wide receivers, though, gets me also to – I don't want to go after Joe Brady too much in this game, although I think for one reason I would say he could have done better. If we're going to give him credit, as we have and I have, for making adjustments in the second half against teams, then I think you have to say, where were the adjustments in this game when the Browns were doing a good job of shutting down the run game? The Bills kind of seemed like they had no counter to whatever the Browns did to shut them down in the second half. The Bills were running all over the Browns in the first half. James Cook had exactly 100 yards in the first half. Second half, he had 17 yards. The Bills had no counter. That's the only way I would say, okay, definitely that's on Joe Brady. I look at the wide receiver core and I say, I don't know what he's supposed to do when it comes to the passing game.
It almost feels like, you know, trying to paint without a paintbrush a little bit at times, because there are only so many buttons that you can push with the offense. And I hate to, because I think Joe Brady, there are things to like about what he does. And I also think that there are times that you can be critical of his lack of creativity, or sometimes trying to actually get too cute when you don't need to get too cute. But yeah, like, Joe Brady doesn't drop a wide open, not a wide open, but a perfect ball to Brandon Cooks, and the touchdown to Dawson Knox that they drew.
That's a great play he drew up.
That's what I mean. Knox. He got him open. He got him open. And like, for a team, this wide receiver room is so bad. And it's like that they keep trying to make this Brandon Cooks thing work. And now you have two games in a row where he has very notable drops that really hurt his team. And then, like, there's the Keon stuff, and then why isn't Gabe Davis playing? I was stunned that Gabe Davis was not active yesterday, because I'm like, hey, listen, Josh at least trusts that guy, and he provides some semblance of a deep threat. And then they're like, nah, we're good. We don't need that. They do not have Tyrell Shavers, awesome player because of how great he is at blocking and, you know, his versatility in the special teams role. Khalil Shakir, really good at what he is asked to do in his role, great after contact. They do not have NFL wide receivers that can play on the outside. Right now, they do not. There is a reason that the options that they are trying are guys who were available to them at some point in the middle of the season, and Josh Palmer just has not lived nearly up to the expectations that were set for him prior to the season.
No, he actually also, on the same play that Josh Allen got hurt, I think Josh Palmer, that same play, I believe it was, he came off, he was limping as well. He has not been able to get right, and you're right, he has not been able to necessarily fit in the way that everybody in the team at least thought he would when they signed him as a free agent. So right now they're stuck with trying to piece as much together as they can, and it just wasn't working that well yesterday. And then when a team shuts down the run game, that becomes a lot more problematic. And yesterday, the Browns did a good job of that in the second half. In the first half, things were cooking, and especially with James Cook. He was sensational in the first half. I mean, I don't know where this offense would be without James Cook, to be quite honest with you.
This would be like a six-win team without James Cook right now, just because he is that good. And they have Josh Allen, and they would probably, you know what? I shouldn't say that. They might be still, like, you know, an 8 or 9 win team at this point without James Cook, because Josh would have to probably do more crazy stuff, but there would be more variance to it. You know, he'd have way more touchdowns, but probably way more interceptions. And it would just be like, okay, let's just see what happens. James Cook is very steady, you know. The second half was not great, but he leads the NFL in rushing, right? I know Jonathan Taylor plays tonight, and it's not like he's not getting in the end zone either. I think he has 11 rushing touchdowns. He's got, I think, 33 catches this year. Like, he is, it's him and Josh Allen. That is what the offense is. It's those two guys with a really good offensive line, some okay tight ends, and then just really nothing outside.
They didn't get anything from Dalton Kincaid yesterday because they're managing his injury. Mm-hmm. Dawson Knox had the drop. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at even more reduced kind of options in the passing game. And that's why Josh Allen had some pretty pedestrian numbers. Let's talk about the quarterback for a minute. The play that happened that he got hurt on, I don't know what Josh was trying to do other than just do Josh Allen things in that situation, get rid of the ball. And he winds up turning around. It's the second time, by the way, in the game that he went down in the hard grass and something didn't go right because it was a little hard out there on the cold grass. Remember the first slide he had of the game where he got up and he was a little bit ginger as well. So a little tough to watch on that play. And then, of course, very tough to watch him limping off the field into the locker room. We get updated at halftime that he's getting x-rays on his foot, but he's cleared to return. And oh my goodness. I mean, right there, everything, you're holding your breath because that's the Bills season right there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if that was anything notable, you know, you're like, okay, what the heck is going on? This team has got nothing. They've got really no reasons to be hopeful for the remainder of the season. So I know everybody was on pins and needles. The thing that I was trying to stay optimistic and positive about was that after the injury, he did stay in for the next play, even though it was just a QB sneak to kind of give themselves a little bit more wiggle room. The fact that he stayed in and played and then kind of jogged even gingerly to the sideline.
Well, how about the fact he actually took the ball and tried to sprint to the end zone?
Because he was like,
I wasn't down.
Yeah, exactly. So there were signs, but at the same time, you never know, right? Our cameras down on the field, shout out Dom Tibbetts, had a great angle of in the sight of vision, he was walking just a little ginger. And then right when he got into the tunnel, he looked hobbled. He was almost putting on a show until he got out of the sight of fans and then was in pain. And I was like, ooh, that does not look good. But, 15 minutes later, and I'm sure there was some adrenaline and I'm sure there were some other things that they did to make sure that foot was okay. He said the pain subsided. And once again, goes back to those first two words I said, crisis averted, that even though the game was sloppy and even though Josh Allen got hurt, they still won and he didn't get hurt bad enough to keep him out of the game.
No. And obviously he comes back in the game. He says he tweaked his foot. He said it flared up on him. So I wouldn't be surprised though, Matt, for this week, if we see Josh Allen on the injury report, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a full participant every single day.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I am almost expecting it. We're recording this Monday morning. I bet when we get to the Sean McDermott Monday press conference, the injury updates are Jordan Poyer, because apparently he's got a hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Spencer Brown, we were talking before we started recording, a couple snaps where Ryan Vandermark got in, so we'll see what happens there. And then Josh Allen, this could be very much a Josh Allen limited week. The other thing that's interesting, just so everybody has some perspective, with the holiday this week, it's a very weird practice schedule for these guys, and the availability is very limited. They're doing stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, instead of Wednesday, Thursday, which, understand, right? Have the holiday, spend the time with your family. So we might really not even have a Josh update until the end of the week on Friday.
And any injury updates we do get from the team are kind of going to be estimations because of the injury, because of their schedule. They play Sunday, the official injury report doesn't come out till Wednesday. That first Tuesday availability, it's going to be an estimation, basically, because
there's going to be a walkthrough.
There is going to be no injury update at all on Tuesday. Let me correct myself, because the first injury update doesn't even come till Wednesday, and yet they're practicing on Tuesday in some capacity, which is kind of weird.
So it's going to be a very strange week. The fact that Josh finished the game, the fact that the x-rays that he got were negative, all signs are pointing to him being available to play against the Eagles. But with a guy like that, you can just make him limited, let him do what he needs to do this week to rest and recover as much as possible. I mean, hell, Philip Rivers had 5 years without practice and is playing in games. I think Josh can do 5 days without practice.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right. So we'll talk about what happens a little bit next week and how it all impacts what happened as we go on here. But let's get to the defensive side. Before we do that, we never said hi to everybody. We are on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo here. Matt Bove, Sal Capaccio. Coming back from Cleveland last night. So we're doing this on a Monday morning here, giving you a chance to digest what happened. Of course, we're thanking you for watching at Sal Sports on YouTube. And of course, wherever you pod, iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey app. Thank you so much. Okay. Defensively, how about Greg Rousseau showing back up here? This is a guy that we kind of have really talked about his lack of production this year, and they need more from him. And it really hasn't happened. He had a spurt maybe midway through the year where he started to show it again. And then the last few weeks, there's not been that much. Suddenly, Greg Rousseau comes back to life with 2.5 sacks in this one. They were greatly needed.
Definitely greatly needed. Greg Rousseau has been a polarizing player. And, you know, part of that is because of people like me and other people who have been critical and said, like, hey, you need more out of this guy. And then we saw more out of that guy in Sunday's game where he was dominant. I mean, in the second half, he took over. Those last couple drives, he was everywhere. Every time they got in the backfield, it felt like it was Greg Rousseau. He finished the day with 2.5 sacks. It really should have been 3.5 sacks. He does not get a sack on the intentional grounding that Chador took at the 1-yard line that was almost a safety.
Right.
That wasn't safety. That was almost a safety. They kept going back and forth on it. So he doesn't get registered a sack on that, even though he should. He was dominant. It was really good to see. I think that they need more from Greg Rousseau moving forward. My only pushback is, it's not even really pushback, but, you know, like, we have a Monday show leading the charge, and, you know, on that show, I've been like, they need more from Greg Rousseau. And one of my co-hosts, Joe Biscaglia, is always like, he's so good in the run game. Like, when you watch the film, you see how good Greg Rousseau is. And I understand that. But when you have a game like he did on Sunday, and Sean McDermott says after the game, that's really good to see. We need to see him build off of that and do these types of things again. It shows what he is capable of. And if he's not doing what he is capable of consistently, that's why I'm saying there is more there. He is a very good player. And I know, like, he's not paid to be a great pass rusher. I get it. And I get sacks aren't everything. And I understand that. But when you see him have a game like yesterday, you see that he is capable of doing that, and you would like to see it a little bit more often. So kudos to him for making idiots like me eat their words, and I'll own that. Like, I said Greg Rousseau needed to be better, and he was their best player yesterday. That's good. Let's see it in 3 weeks, in four weeks.
Hey, you're not the. I will tell you a funny story. So on what morning would it have been? It would have been Saturday morning. I didn't leave until Saturday afternoon on the charter with the team. So Saturday morning, Max and I decided to take our dog Bernie out for a walk in the Elmwood Village. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't take Bernie into Max wanted to get some soup and you know, want to get a drink, and I said, okay, grab me some coffee, whatever. The whole point is I couldn't take him into the business. So I'm outside. Mm-hmm. This guy pulls in. And I could tell he recognized me. He just happens to walk up to me. Doesn't say hello, nothing. He just looks at me and goes, Greg Rousseau is the most overrated player in the Buffalo Bills. That's the first. I go, well, good morning to you too, sir. And I laughed. He goes, oh, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm like, no, it's good. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't know. And we started debating. And I'm like, I don't want to just sit there and kill Greg Rousseau. He's like, no. They're paying him way too much. This was Saturday morning. You're not the only one, Matt. This is what fans say. And I totally get it. I will give a little pushback on the Rousseau stat. And again, I don't want to throw he deserves all the accolades. Shedeur Sanders held onto the ball a little too long. He always does. The Bills did a good job. So in that situation, a guy like Greg Rousseau should take advantage of that. A guy like Joey Bosa should take advantage of that. That's when Sean McDermott says you marry the coverage and the pass rush. When you have a rookie quarterback who already has a tendency to hang on to the ball a little bit too long, you need to get those guys home because you shouldn't have to devote a lot to blitzing. They had to early on if they wanted to get to him because they were getting rid of the ball quickly. But in those situations, that didn't happen. Good job. Also, great job by the D-line. You have a quarterback who does hold on to the ball a little bit too long and has, I don't know, it feels like he doesn't have the quickest trigger. So by them getting their hands up like they have all year, disrupted a couple of plays and batted the ball up twice, resulting in an interception, obviously. For the Bills, they had two of them from the D line, but I mean, by doing that, I'm sorry, they had Jordan Poyer and then they had Daquan Jones, but they had a couple of balls, three of them, I think, were batted in the air.
Yeah, Dan Walker had one that batted down. Joey Bosa had one that batted down. That turned into the Daquan Jones interception, which was a nice play.
Yeah.
The Jordan Poyer interception came off of a ball that was thrown a little bit behind. Quinshon Judkins popped up in the air. He was able to bring that in. It was a similar theme to what we said last week, where it was the older guys making big plays for the Bills. I thought, you know, Greg Rousseau was not an older guy. He's one of the youngest guys, but he was their best player. But after that, I thought Jordan Poyer was good. I thought Matt Milano was good. I thought Taron Johnson was good in this game. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be desired from some of those other players. Like the corners are good. They didn't even really get tested in this game, like, at all. But, you know, still need to see more out of the linebacker play. The Matt Milano trip was a bad play because that led to at least four additional points that the Browns were going to get. I think it would have been like 4th and 10. And instead, that wiped out that, you know, 2-yard gain that they had. So, defensively, they were better than the offense, but still things certainly that they need to clean up. They got killed when they blitzed. When they blitzed, the Browns picked them apart with these quick little – and that's like smart, good football. Like, hey, if you're going to send people, we know that there's going to be somebody open, and we're going to dump it off to one of these running backs that you've never heard of, and they're going to go get a 17-yard gain.
Yeah, screen passes really hurt them, no doubt. And the other thing that hurt them was Shedeur Sanders scrambling. He had runs of 13, 14, 16 yards. This is something that reared its head early in the season, not being able to contain quarterbacks in the pocket, and they scramble for yards. I mean, the Browns converted some really third down and long because of this. Screen passes were definitely an issue. Guys just running free, you're right. And then the Browns started to get the run game going, and it wasn't even Quinshon Judkins. After that, they started giving the ball to who was the other running back? I have his name here. Was it Sanders?
The other Sanders.
He's a big guy, right? And he was just physical with the Bills, and the Bills were having trouble with him running downhill, Matt. And that's, of course, this is something that we know, Raheem Sanders. This is something that we know has hurt the Bills before. Now he only averaged 3.8, but he had a few nice runs. He had a 9-yard run. He had 42 total yards. The other thing that hurt the Bills, these ends arounds, little chicanery. It just felt like the Browns were testing them on the edges and testing them on kind of non-traditional types of plays, if you will. And that was also something the Bills didn't handle that well.
Yeah, because they don't have a ton of speed. Like, you know, like they can be exposed by teams that are really, really fast. The problem is they also don't have a ton of size. So it's like if you're not particularly fast, you better be like big and stout against the run, which they are also not. So it's like, okay, what exactly is this defense good at? And I think the secondary is strong. And I think that everything else, there's room to be improved. You know, I feel that way about the secondary too. Yeah, I just think that like...
Well, one of the reasons why that they're normally, that they weren't as stout, is Shaq Thompson gets hurt. He has a neck injury. Mm-hmm. That's something to monitor this week. This is something I said all last week when people said, oh, I don't care. I don't want Terrell Bernard back out there. And I'm like, look, you're going to need Terrell Bernard to come in at some point. I know you want Shaq Thompson to start. What if something were to happen to Shaq Thompson? Lo and behold, something happened to Shaq Thompson. Thank goodness they had Terrell Bernard on the ready to be able to come in and play middle linebacker, because that's not a situation where you want to be scrambling to find somebody and suddenly you got to put Dorian Williams in there or Joe Andreessen in there. So it was good for the Bills to have Terrell Bernard available because Shaq Thompson got hurt. We'll see what happens going forward.
Yeah, but I was not particularly blown away or impressed by the performance of Terrell Bernard. I thought he got better as the game went on. But I think if you have both options, right now, Shaq Thompson is the option. Like, I just, even, you know, this neck injury, yesterday's game is a little strange with how it sets up the rest of the big playoff picture that we will get to. But there is a chance that, you know, that the final game or even the next two games might not even really matter that much. So I be as smart as possible and get your guys healthy for the postseason. I think that is very important. So if that means for the next 2 weeks, Shaq Thompson is unavailable and Jordan Poyer is unavailable, that's fine as long as they are available when you were playing Wild Card Weekend, assuming
that. By the way, just so everybody knows, Shaq was officially questionable to return. He did have his helmet on the sidelines. He never went back in the game.
Yeah, he just stood with the starters and he had his helmet on and he never ultimately went back into the game.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying about Bernard. I just want to make the point that it's still good to have him available and healthy. I mean, he is the middle linebacker who knows the calls and understands all of that. Maybe he wasn't at the level of Shaq or what we've seen Terrell Bernard before, but when people tell me they just don't want Terrell Bernard back in uniform, I think that's nonsense. And the more guys you have,
that's right.
I mean, he gives you more options. Now, that said, did you notice how they were using Terrell Bernard early in the game before the Shaq Thompson injury?
Wasn't it? I believe it started the first snap was Shaq Thompson and Matt Milano. And then I think on the second play, it went to Shaq and Terrell Bernard.
So Bernard and Milano looked like they were rotating at will a little bit in different passing and run situations.
Yeah, but then I think Shaq Thompson got hurt on like the next drive.
Right.
So we didn't really. The first drive was when I first noticed Bernard with a couple bad plays or like plays not up to the execution that they need. And then Shaq Thompson got hurt and then he went back to his more natural position. And then I thought he started to look better and Milano started to look better. So it's like they have these three guys and two of the three guys can do kind of the same thing, just a little differently. And then they like to splice in Milano here and there. And I think that they would want Milano on the field almost every play, but this is almost a load management situation with him. Like, I feel like in a crucial moment right now, if the Bills like needed to get a stop and everybody was healthy, their linebackers would be Shaq Thompson and Matt Milano.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, rotating in, Christian Benford pretty much did play the whole game, only all but just a couple of snaps, apparently. And they did rotate again, Tre'Davious White and Max Harrison. It was mostly Tre'Davious White, though. Tre'Davious White gets 47 snaps. Max Harrison gets 18 snaps. So they're still pretty much rolling with Tre'Davious White, although I do think in certain situations, matchup-wise, we could see more Max Harrison going forward.
I watched the game from the press box. And, you know, you're in the press box and you have the vantage point of that and then you see the replays. I have not had a chance yet to go back and see anything. I could not tell you a single thing from one of the cornerbacks. And I mean, Taron made some tackles, nickel cornerbacks, but like on the boundary, there are so few plays that immediately come to mind where the Bills either gave up something, got beat on something. It's like they were playing the bizarro Bills where the wide receivers like did not matter as far as the Browns were concerned. Like, I mean, who even led the way?
For Browns receivers?
Yeah, like Fannin's not a receiver.
Yeah. No, Fannin's, I mean,
Jerry Judy had four targets for three catches and 12 yards.
That's it. Yep.
That's crazy.
That's it. Judkins was a running back. Williams, running back, right? Fannin, tight end. Judy. Yeah. Yep, there you go.
Malachi Corley, four targets, two catches, 11 yards. Tillman.
And again, some of this is quarterback, right? Some of this is quarterback.
Yeah, no, for sure. But like, so the cornerback, I don't have anything particularly interesting to say because they didn't get tested as much as they would against like another NFL offense.
All right, before we get to big picture, special teams, not what they had been the previous couple weeks, specifically because Michael Badgley hits the upright on an extra point, which, by the way, almost proved to be very costly because the Browns kept it within three, obviously, towards the end of the game. They only needed that field goal. And then Badgley doesn't even hit the landing zone on a kick a little bit later, which cost the Bills field position. I don't know the situation with Matt Prater. We didn't get an update from Sean McDermott on him as far as timeline. There's no indication, just because Badgley wasn't put on the active roster, that doesn't mean anything. Just because Prater wasn't put on IR, I should say, because they could just elevate Badgley three times. They don't need to use a roster spot.
Yeah.
But they didn't put Prater on IR, so I'm going to hope that's encouraging news for him, because right now, this is not the time of year in this kind of weather, late in the season like this, to be pulling in kickers off the street, and that was one of the reasons that you saw why.
I was in the press box before the game, and I was sitting next to Josh Reed, you know, my counterpart at Channel 4. You know, we're competitors, but we sit there and we chit-chat. And he said during the show that they do, before the game, they were watching Badgley warm up, and it was a disaster. And he was like, Bove, I don't know if I would kick a field goal if I wasn't past the 25-yard line. I'm like, what? He's like, that's a 42-yard field goal. He's like, I'm not kidding. He was like, it was bad. And then we get into the game, and I'm like, oh, okay. And there's instances where I like the Bills being aggressive. Like on the one where they took the shot to Tyrell Shavers, Josh missed the throw. But I'm pretty sure that would have been a 49-yard kick to make it a 9-point game.
Well, going in that direction, he was short from 52 in warmups.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
If you have an NFL kicker, you need to be able to kick a 49-yard field goal that would make it a two-score game. Like that, I get circumstance matters, but it is a completely different game at that point.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Like, that's a problem.
I haven't gone back and analyzed the play yet. From my vantage point, I thought maybe Josh thought Tyrell was going to sit down.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I don't think Josh necessarily missed the throw. I think it was miscommunication between the two.
Wait, I don't know. Did Tyrell sit down and Josh threw it behind him, or I don't remember?
Okay, if I remember correctly, folks, I know you're probably like, no, Sal, this happened. They're coming. I'm on the Bills sideline. Tyrell was coming towards me, so left to right from the offense.
The Bills
and I think
sideline.
He was still running, but Josh threw it to where he would have stopped.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. It was either a miscommunication or just a misthrow from Josh. It was one of the two things. So, like, the play was there, but the play before was the real big miss. Like, that was the one that he overthrew Shakir on.
That's right.
Would have been maybe even a touchdown. But, like, if you have your normal kicker or kickers, like the Bills in this instance, fourth and three.
I don't know. Sean McDermott's been going for that all year like this.
I like that. I commend that. But when you have an opportunity to make it a two-score game against an offense that has failed to consistently score, I think in that instance, that's not a bad option.
Okay. We both got back last night, different times from Cleveland. We're able to watch the Sunday night game, or you were able to listen to it on your drive home and watch the end of it there. Mm-hmm. Patriots have a big comeback against the Ravens. Ravens blow a lead in the fourth quarter. So the Patriots now basically put the Bills in a position where the Bills cannot have any wiggle room. They still need to win their next two games, and the Patriots have to lose one of their next two for the Bills to have a shot at the division. So chances are very unlikely the Bills win the division, but it's still in their window. The Bills obviously very, very close to clinching a playoff spot. We'll find out tonight if that happens this week. If the Colts lose tonight to the 49ers, the Bills are in the playoffs. But big picture, you brought up a good point to me. Bills fans shouldn't be upset necessarily that the Patriots came back to beat the Ravens.
I think there's a lot that goes into this. I have spent way too much time on the NFL playoff predictor on The Athletic, and there are so many different things that I can tell you about the playoffs. Here's what I will say. Even if the Patriots lost last night, the Bills would have still needed help to win the AFC East. It is not like the outlook changes much based off of the result of that game moving forward.
The only
thing
that changes is the Bills have to win their game Sunday.
Exactly. It means the Bills have to take care of their business, but I still don't think that the Patriots are going to lose to the Jets or to Quinn Ewers and the Dolphins at home. If they do, you know, that would be a pleasant surprise if you're the Bills, and then that requires you to take care of your business. But I think getting the Ravens into a position where they are now on life support is more valuable because the path of least resistance. I know they do not look like themselves, but you were lying if you say you would rather go to Baltimore than to Pittsburgh. You are lying because Lamar can take over a game.
Yeah.
And you do not want to be the team that, because look at what Shador was able to do when he got out of the pocket. What do you think Lamar would be able to do? When you played them earlier in the year, they scored 38 points at will, and that was even with a turnover that they had. So, like, getting that team more on the outside looking in is valuable to the teams that are going to be in. So I have no idea what seed they're going to be. They could be they could be the five, they could be the six, they could even be the seven.
They could.
Right now, because of Baltimore losing, the most likely outcome is that the Steelers are the four seed and that the Bills are the five seed. And if that's the case, of all of the matchups in the first weekend, I think that would be the one you feel the most confident about. You really want to go to Jacksonville right now? No. They look like a buzzsaw. You want to play Houston? No. Look what they did to you a couple weeks ago. You really want to play the Chargers? Not particularly. I think that they've got a much better quarterback than some of the other teams we're talking about. You really want to play the Broncos or the Patriots in the first round? No, you don't. The path of least resistance might be the five seed.
The only thing about that is right now the Steelers, they were much more buttoned up against the run, and they ran the ball very well against Detroit. And they probably will have a chance to rest their players week 18 because I think all they have to do is win next week. And
they beat the Browns.
They're locked into their seed. Then they're locked into their seed.
If they beat the Browns, they win the AFC North. If they win
the Browns seed, that's right.
In week 17, they are not moving seed. I guess if all hell breaks loose in the AFC South, maybe, but I still, they're going to be a four seed and they're going to win the AFC North.
So they could rest all their guys week 18. Now the Bills could be in that position. We'll see what winds up happening. I'm sure the Bills and Patriots are going to have if the Bills win next week and the Patriots win, the Bills and Patriots probably be on the same, time slot on that final Sunday. We'll see how that all works out. The other part that's crazy about this is the Broncos, the Patriots, the Jags, and even the Chargers are all still alive for the one seed. All of them. I mean, even the Bills, but it's much less likely.
The Jags' path to the one seed is real.
Like, oh, yeah.
it requires another Patriots loss. So that loss last night from the, or excuse me, the Patriots win last night probably hurt the Jags more than it even hurt the Bills, because if the Ravens would have won, all the Jags needed to do was win their final two games and they would have been the one seed.
Yeah, they would be in the two seed right now. And the Patriots would be the three seed right now if the if the Patriots didn't come back to win that game. And you're right about Houston. I mean, the more that you can keep them down. But here's the other part about this. Yeah, you're right. You mentioned it. Right now, the Bills are still only a game up on Houston. And then Houston has a tiebreaker, obviously, so a half game. The Bills could still fall to the seven seed. And then you'd have to go to the two, whoever that is. And we don't know who that is. So it's, there's so much still to be determined here.
Yeah, so luckily, so the Athletics playoff tool that they have is cool because you can toggle between the current standings and the projected standings. Yeah. And obviously, there's wiggle room here. But right now, okay, the projected standings is Patriots 1, Broncos 2, Jags 3, Steelers 4, Bills 5, Chargers 6, Texans 7. And in that scenario, the Bills would be going to Pittsburgh. That's the thing that you are the most worried about. But how about the Texans going down the road to the Broncos? They could win that game. And if they win that game, then they are playing the Patriots the following week.
That's right.
That would open up a world where if the Bills won in the wild card and won in the divisional, they would be hosting the AFC Championship.
Against the Texans, but hey, who cares? You haven't been home.
You, I mean, you sign up for that right now. You sign up for that in a heartbeat, not even a question.
I mean, the Texans struggled with the Raiders yesterday, right? I mean, like, it is, again, it is the NFL, folks. Every week, right? Week to week, we talk about this stuff.
The new buzzy team, there's two teams that I think are probably the most dangerous outside of the Bills in the AFC. And right now, I think they are the Patriots and they're the Jags. I think those are the two teams that are like the buzzy it teams. Listen, I know the Bills just beat the Patriots a week ago, and I know that the first half was a disaster for the Bills. They're good. They are a good team. And the Jags offense right now, like Trevor Lawrence is playing like one of the best players in the NFL right now. You know, that game was on as I was getting ready to finish all of my stuff and come back to Buffalo. I'm like, the Jags are carving up this great Broncos defense. So, like, that's not a team I think you'd feel super And also, the Bills have, like, weird mojo when they play the Jags, especially in Jacksonville. Like, that has not been a kind place to them.
Yeah, the AFC South teams the Bills go to, they just don't have great success a lot of times there. You have a weird loss in Houston a few years ago, a weird loss in Indy a few years ago, bad loss. I know they won there as well. Down in Jacksonville, you're right, down in Houston, a couple of playoff losses, one in each of those places. Next week, the Bills take on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are still alive to get to the two seed. They're kind of, I think, out of it for the one seed. I think maybe mathematically they aren't, but they're almost getting locked into the three here. I do wonder how the Eagles play it next week. I think both teams still want to obviously win it because the Eagles won their division now. They clinched their division. So they're division champs, but the Bills do have the Eagles at home next week. It's a 4:25 p.m. start.
Yeah, so I think that the Eagles, I was talking to Mike Catalana, who, you know, is raised an Eagles fan, and we were talking about this last night, and he was like, yeah, they don't really have much to play for these last couple weeks because they're not going to move up, they're not going to move down, they're going to kind of be the three seed, and with some of the notable injuries that they have, like I believe Schefter reported that Jalen Carter and Lane Johnson are expected to play against the Bills, he was like, he's like, I'm interested by that because I feel like giving them more rest is more beneficial than anything else at this point.
And N'Kobe Dean went out of the game with a hamstring injury. I doubt he plays. N'Kobe
Dean went out of the game with the hamstring injury. While you were talking about that, I was looking at the Texans. So the Texans' final games are interesting because they play the Chargers.
Yep.
So there's going in this next week. Huge. So there could be, you know.
By the way, that's a Saturday game.
It's like the Saturday. Yeah, it's the So that's fun. That's like another thing to watch as we get ready for Sunday. So that's an interesting game. And then obviously, like the Colts, only have a 3% chance of making it. But if they run the table, you know, never say never, I guess. They have like a 90% chance if they run the table.
We'll find out tonight if that is to happen. All right, we got to go. We have a lot of other duties on the TV side, WKBW TV with Matt, WGR Sports Radio 550 with me, Sal. We'll talk at you again later this week. Once again, the Bills and the Eagles on Sunday at 4:25 p.m. It wasn't the cleanest game, but you take them how you get them. And the Bills do go to 11-4 on the season. They're in very good playoff position right now. They can clinch tonight. We'll find out the next time we talk if they have done that. Until next time here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Thanks a lot to our producer, Mike Rabier.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.